Truth Matters, an interactive program of practical Catholic evangelization.
What does the Bible have to say about that?
Where can I find that in the Catechism?
Truth Matters, with your host, Teresa Carpinelli, and Living Bread Radio staff apologists, Pat Blind and Mark Hughes.
What do the Church Fathers have to say?
How can I explain that to my friends?
Truth Matters. And now, here's Teresa Carpinelli.
Hi, welcome to Truth Matters. This is a show of Catholic evangelization and apologetics. This is show number 379. We're going to be talking a little bit about the continuation, essentially, of the introduction to the sacraments that we talked about before. But if you can access the internet and access our website at livingbreadradio.com, you'll find our shows will be archived in MP3 format. So we encourage you to download those, listen to them. You'll also find catechism references, Bible verses, things like that as well to help you in your Bible study. So I think Mark is just chomping at the bit here because he has so much material, so many notes on intro to the sacraments. So you want to take it away, Mark?
Sure, yeah, part two here. I found some old notes on the sacraments that I hadn't that I had misplaced, and you know that old prayer to Saint Anthony, you know, Tony, come around, something's lost and can't be found. I found all these notes.
Pretty good. I never heard that.
What's that?
I never heard that. It's pretty good.
But anyhow, I found these notes. Some of the stuff is taken from a great tape series I remember listening to a long time ago, Growth by Oath, which was by Dr. Scott Hahn.
Excellent.
It was probably recorded in the late 80s or early 90s.
It was one of his first, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was a really good a tape series, and I know some of the notes I have here are from some of that tape series. So I'd highly recommend it if you can get it. It's probably not in CD form or MP3 format at all. It's probably just cassette tape, if I remember right, but unless they've updated their...
I know they're converting most of them over to CD,
that'd be nice,
so it might be
nice to hear it again. But, I had left off earlier, you know, that God does extraordinary things through ordinary matter, you know, the taking the natural and making it supernatural. And if you remember the old catechism definition of a sacrament from the Baltimore Catechism, that is an outward sign instituted by Jesus Christ to give grace. You know, it's like embedded in us. But, you know, that's a nice definition, but I think it can go, and I remember this from Dr. Hahn, that it can go a little farther. He says, you know, now this explains, this definition explains where the sacraments come from, Jesus Christ, and explains what they do, give grace, but not what they are. And so I think that's another, you know, starting point where we can look at here. And Pat mentioned, talked about this in a previous show, you know, handshakes, common, you know, spoken words, kisses, hugs, things like that, convey the truth through the sign itself.
Right.
You know, I think I said something, you know, it causes what it signifies, like a kiss will demonstrate or intensify love, a handshake, you know, for friendship or welcome or trust or things like that. Mm-hmm. So those signs, those merely natural signs, convey a deeper meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these are very powerful, you know, philosophic thoughts here, you know, that that a lot of us in America are not used to thinking about, but other cultures have no problem with this, and it's almost kind of second nature to them, I think. But here in America, we're pretty anti-sacramental in a general sense. But, you know, sacraments can also, they go beyond our five senses. They go beyond reason, but they're not, they don't go against reason.
Okay.
They go beyond logic, but they're not illogical. And there's room for study and room for development of these ideas. But one concept here that I think is very important is that, you know, the divine mysteries are revealed by God supernaturally. That's a good take home point. The divine mysteries, are revealed by God supernaturally. The gift of faith enables us to believe this, what's taught. The mystery of faith, you know, things taught by the Church through God and the Holy Spirit, are divinely revealed, believed supernaturally by faith, by God's grace, on the basis of God's word alone. on the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, you know, the Trinity, for example, would be something beyond our reason, and we could never know by pondering God that he is three persons in one nature. We can know that God exists by studying the world and the change that occurs through the world and things that endure through change. We can know that God, there, that a God exists, but whether he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will never know that unless it's divinely revealed. So that's another point. As I had mentioned, sacraments go beyond reason, and but they're not against reason. You know, the Holy Spirit in the early days of the church led led the church to call these mysteries sacraments, and that's what the word can be translated into. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul talks about himself as an apostle and the other apostles. He says, quote, "Thus, one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, mystery in the in Greek is mysterion, and in Latin, mysterion is translated sacramentum.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's, and so that's, you know, really what Paul's talking about here, and this is what I like to bring up to non-Catholics as well, but Paul's talking about here, when you explain these some of these principles, that, you know, he's talking about the sacraments of the church that were instituted by Christ, and that's what, these participating in these sacraments is what makes us pleasing to God, okay? And another, you know, and I think it's all in front of us, and we all know this, but a profound thought is that Jesus Christ is the sacrament, you know? We all know, you know, but right. But when you look at it that way, Jesus Christ is the sacrament. And because of his life and his life on earth, everything flows from him. All these the other six sacraments, or seven sacraments, all the other six flow from his life because he instituted them. I think it's another profound thought, but I'll go on.
Well, Scott Hahn's definition of a sacrament, wasn't that something like it's an efficacious sign that brings about what it signifies? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cause, okay. A sign that causes what it signifies. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Christ would be the sacrament because he is
the source of them all.
Right. He brings about everything, right, you know, that he signifies.
So, in Latin, we have the word sacramentum, and it dates back to pre-Christian usage, and it goes into the Romans, early Romans. Roman soldiers took an oath, and basically a sacrament's an oath. We'll get into this in later shows, but took an oath or a sacrament to serve under the Roman emperor.
So their oath was called a sacrament or
a sacramentum. Right.
Okay.
And Pliny, some of the early historians, church historians, and Roman historians, talked about this oath or this sacrament that when he was spying on the churches and persecuting the churches, that these early Christians would take an oath or a sacramentum to Jesus Christ as God, but it was bread and wine, and he didn't understand it. And his writings basically said that they were acting as though and pledging themselves under a divine curse or an oath that the bread and wine was God.
Well, I think that's one of the things that Catholics, especially in the 21st century, have completely lost, the fact that there is an oath involved in the sacraments.
Right. When we say the great amen after the consecration, we are basically swearing an oath,
right,
stating that, whether we know it or not, we're stating that we are saying amen to everything that the church teaches through Christ.
And Christ is an oath, because an oath is, I give you my word.
An oath is a word.
And he's the word of God. God took an oath.
Flesh.
God gave us his word, and the word became flesh. So it's very interesting. But Pliny was a Roman
historian.
Okay,
yes.
So he was spying on the
early
Christians.
On, yes.
So he recognized that they were taking an oath.
Right.
That's interesting, because a lot of people say, well, there's no such word as sacraments in the Bible, or they don't see sacraments in the Bible.
Right.
But
generally translated as mystery.
Okay.
Mysteries.
So,
1 Corinthians 4, verse 1.
Mysterion's the Greek.
Yes.
Sacramentum is the Latin.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, the whole sacramental system of the church is, as far as I'm concerned, it gives me great confidence that I'm saved, because a lot of times I'll ask Protestants, I said, is it important to know that you have sanctifying grace? And they readily admit, why, of course. And I says, well, you understand that a religious feeling doesn't indicate the presence of sanctifying grace.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the church uses bread, wine, oil, you know, and the church, as far as I'm concerned, is Christianity at its fullness. You know, we are a body-soul composite, a psychosomatic unit, psycho meaning soul, soul meaning body. And once again, you know, God provides for man according to his nature. You know, and you guys talked about how, you know, talked about oaths. You know, whenever we do the sign of the cross, we're basically, what are we doing? We're renewing an oath from baptism, because this same sign was done over us at baptism. And it basically says that we're God's children. And as Professor Hans says, you know, this is no metaphor. I mean, this is reality. And, but at the same time, though, if you really think about it, you know, I know we're going to do another show on oaths, but when we do talk about an oath, basically what you're doing is you're invoking God's name. And, you know, these oaths need to be taken seriously, but when you invoke God's name, what are you basically doing? Like, you go into a courtroom, you're basically, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help me, God. So you're asking God for help, and God becomes presently active during an oath, but not only an oath, but also a sacrament. God becomes presently active. So, you know, it's one of those things where Protestants don't have oaths per se. Okay, sacraments. They call them ordinances. Some of the Reformed churches do call them sacraments,
but they have two, don't they?
Yeah, two, okay. And marriage and baptism. So, and we recognize they're both of those properly done. Huh. So, but at the same time, it's something that that I think, particularly, I can't stress enough, the United States, you know, American mentality, it's so foreign to us. Not only particularly oaths,
mm-hmm.
because you think of professing an oath. You know, football players are professionals now,
right.
You know, when you're only a professional when you professed an oath.
Well, this is one of the reasons, too, why non-Catholics are encouraged not to receive Holy Communion in a Catholic church, because they're standing up there taking an oath saying, amen, I believe everything the church teaches, and they're lying, essentially, by saying that. So thank you both so much. This is show number 379. Thank you, and God bless.
This has been Truth Matters. For an audio archive of this program, as well as notes and references in document format, log on to livingbreadradio.com, click on Truth Matters, and find the link to the show number that was referenced during the show. If you have a question you'd like answered on the show, email us at truthmatters@livingbreadradio.com. Truth Matters is a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. Join us each weekday for more Truth Matters.